You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Thank you, Lord. As we were worshiping just now, the Lord just dropped Daniel 10 into my spirit. So I just quickly got my phone to read a little bit here. It's just so beautiful. Daniel was terrified, actually, in the spirit by a vision. That's what the Bible says. It's like terrified. It sounds like a scary thing. But the awe and the fear of the Lord was all over him. And he's reporting this in Daniel 10. I just want to read this to you. In the year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and he had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, no meat or other beverage entering my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the 3 weeks were completed. So he was fasting. So he was very close to the Lord during that time. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and I looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz, and his body also was like Mary. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and his feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of the words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me. For my natural color turned to deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of the words, and as soon as I heard the sound of the words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. And then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertained to the days yet to come, the days of the future. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground, and I became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, Oh my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, and no breath has been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. He said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. Jesus. Father, I just thank you for your holy word. And I thank you, Lord, for that revelation today. Lord, that in the battle of the ages, you have won the victory. You have already come, King Jesus. And as our eyes are feasted and focused on you, on the cross, as we're co-crucified with you, and the grave, as everything has been buried with you, oh God, and we are co-buried with you, that we have been raised to new life, and we are co-raised with you, oh God, and we live in that secret place. Father, I thank you that you are teaching us how to move. You are teaching us how to bend bows of bronze. Oh, you are teaching us, Lord, and showing us and bringing us understanding of what truly is going on and what truly is happening in the spirit. You're making our hind feet ready to be able to be strong and mighty, oh God, to be able to move diligently, accurately, and precisely in the spirit. Lord, as Pastor Jose reminded us this summer, those of us who were there, that this is a time to mature, and that our goal of maturity must be first and foremost to mature in things of the Spirit, to be able to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. So we thank you, Lord, for Daniel setting the pace. We thank you for his supernatural life. We thank you, Father, that his closeness with you enabled him, Lord, to regain strength so there was no confusion, so he would hear from heaven and that he would be able to render what is truly your heart and your voice and be able to cooperate with you that way. Lord, these are for now, these times, and for the future as well. Daniel knew what he knew, but you gave him understanding for the times, so that we would be like the sons of Issachar right now, in this time, understanding the time and being able to step forth in confidence because we had been with you and we know you and the power of your resurrection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when we step into the battle that is here, Father, we are worshipers and we worship you in spirit and in truth. And you will rescue us if we humble ourselves. You will show us the way as our eyes are fixed on you. And we will hear you clearly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping us step further and further into these places. As you are raising up Daniels in this age, you are raising up Daniels to be able to commune with you supernaturally, but be able to recognize what you're really saying and doing and what's going on. Oh God, may we stand in that revelation today. May we be filled with revelation knowledge today. May we receive your spiritual wisdom and understanding that you speak about in Ephesians. And may we be filled with the great unspeakable joy that will cause us to tremble in your presence. A great fear and awe of you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. It's not what we can do, God. It's who you are. And that you would make yourself so clear and known. We humble ourselves, God, to you today. And we give you, God, the fullness of who we are. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. When we were singing Shout to the Lord, I just had a flashback to an amazing crusade we had in Africa many years ago. I don't even know the year that was, but it was so strong and powerful. And we were singing that out and many other things, and I could just see what was going on. So Father, we just thank you that we shout to heaven, we shout to you today, and that you bring us into that place of full and total remembrance, God, that we're lost in your presence, God, and we're in that safe place surrounded by your love, by those who love you, God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have done before and what you're going to do in the future. And we thank you, Lord, we give you glory. We don't forget the past. We celebrate who you are and what's happened. And we thank you for the present, look future, forward to the future. So thank you, Lord, we rejoice in you today. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, what a morning so far. So we have a communion this morning, and Pastor Bill has a word. Okay, so Pastor Bill has a word for us, and then we'll transition into communion, which will be so great as we commune as a family, as a body. And I'm just so glad to see your faces, so glad to see everybody. You're so beautiful. Wow, here we are. I think this is our seventh week here. Seventh, something like that. Oh my gosh. So many things are coming, so prepare your heart in Jesus' name.
So Holy Spirit, teach us today. We need to hear from you directly. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. We're all learners. We're all receivers of what you give out. We receive right from your lips, right from your heart. Help us align with the heart of Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Trying to figure out what's going on with this shirt. I don't know whether I've become extra buff or whether my laundry skills are bad, but it seems a little tight. Okay, thank you. I was waiting for that encouragement. Well, Pastor Mary Pat's been writing the bulk of the things that we've been passing out on Sunday, but this week I felt that the supernatural decision-making process document needed a little bit of revision, so this is edition number 2, and as soon as I put it in print, I realized I had further things to put in it. So expect edition number 3 very quickly. So we'll just keep working at our supernatural decisions. So if we can have a couple people pass these out, that would help me. Thank you, sir. And sir. But we've been in the book of Acts. If you were with us Tuesday, we had an amazing time talking about the conversion of Saul into Paul. Have you been there? Yes. Wow. A little sleepy today. Have you been there?
Yes.
I sure hope so. We're in chapter 10, a pivotal point in the history of the church, but we don't want to take the history of this as much as we want to take the revelation of this. Amen? Okay, amen? I know we'll get there. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. The centurion was over 100. He was the leader over 100 men, but apparently he got to stay at home. He didn't have to march with the rest of the army. And so he's kind of like our National Guard, I guess. The Roman National Guard. He was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Are we catching these dreams and visions and appearances of angels and encounters with the living God in the book of Acts? And we keep reminding you, this is the infant stage of the church. What should be happening now? Wow. In chapter 9, we had two visions intersect, and so we will in chapter 10. So look forward to that. Cornelius, and when he observed him, he was afraid. Do we think that we wouldn't be afraid if we encountered a heavenly personality, whether it's God himself or whether it's an angel? Have we read through this so much that we think, oh, well, you know, since we read this and we know this happens, we wouldn't be afraid? Yes, we would. Yes, we would. Yes, and Daniel was, and he was quite pure, say the least. And said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. He's not Jewish. He's not a proselyte. He's just a guy in the Roman army. And he's praying to God and giving offerings. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel spoke to him and had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. Apparently, he had 100 servants at his call if he wanted to. He could have them drop grapes and wave the palm branches. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray, about the sixth hour. And like many of us, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. And while they made ready, he fell into a trance. But this was a real trance. It wasn't, you know, soaking in the spirit that we sometimes drift into because with the heat and the meal or the meal on the way. This was a real trance. And saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth and beasts, creeping things and birds of the air. Not creepy things, creeping things. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. You know, in his best British accent. For I have never, never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Ooh. What God has cleansed, whether it's an offering or whether it's a servant of the Lord, you must not call common. This was done three times. God is so gracious to us. When we have visions, when we have pictures from the Lord, and if you haven't had those yet, you will. I said, if you haven't had those yet, you will. And I thought all kinds of hands would go, yes. Amen. glad there's no camera that faces this way. Thank you, Jesus. This was done three times. Often God repeats to me the visions I have. Why? Because I'm going, is this me or is this you? And he'll repeat it. Is this me or is this you? He'll repeat it. Is this me or is this you? Oftentimes it's about three or four times. And then I'm finally like, this is you. And suddenly it's holy ground and a holy message, and I better pay extra attention. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Great timing. I wonder who designed that. As soon as his vision's over, they're at the gate. Cornelius had a vision, heard from heaven. All works together. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. This is the invitation. Here is a God seeker, a Gentile. He's had a heavenly encounter, and it involves you. And he's calling you to his house. What do you think? Well, we know that Peter was already set up for this. What would he have thought if he hadn't been? What house? What background does this person have? Would he have gone without three times hearing from the Lord? Jews thought they were quite far above in spiritual standing with God. Why would he go to a Gentile's home? Samaritans were considered dogs. They were half-breeds. Kind of have some connection to the Jewish faith, but not really. And in the Jews' minds, they were talked about as dogs. Wow. Peter had a lot to overcome here. But he had seen the stirring in the church. He was the one that spoke out on the day of Pentecost already. And 3,000 came to know the Lord. But those were those who had come to Jerusalem as proselytes, those believing from afar in different nationalities that were Jewish worshipers. This is a whole new day, a whole new thing. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When this happens to us overseas, it is just so awesome. I've had it happen a few times in this country, and it is amazing. When people believe you have the message of God, that you carry the Lord Jesus Christ inside of you, and you have something to say, and they want to hear it, so they gather in their friends and family. I can think of several, more than several, instances where that's happened, and the whole household gets blessed, not just the person making the invitation. He's inviting people, come in, come in, come hear about Jesus. Come hear from one that walked with Jesus. Oh, that it may increase in our day, in this last harvest of the earth, that that would happen more and more to us, whole households calling us in. Oh, please come over. Pray for my family. Oh, please come. You carry the Holy Spirit. You might have had a bad week and feel like sin on a popsicle stick, but you carry the Holy Spirit. So come, please come and release to us what God has on your heart. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Okay, we know from this that Cornelius has a little bit to learn. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." In my Jewishness, I should call you common, Mr. Soldier. But in my kingdomness, I call you someone that needs to hear the truth. And I want to be in your household today. Let's just get that straight. Three times I've heard from God. "Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked, 'Then for what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you.' So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded to you by God." Is it the same thing in this room? Every pastor would love to hear, "We are all present before God to hear all the things commanded to you by God." Every person ministering the gospel would love to hear that. Be encouraged by that. That we're not just up here as a mouthpiece, but we have something to say that God has given to us to release. And certainly there's no position that you can find yourself more humble in. Why me? Why would I be the one to release? Why am I up here today? Peter may have thought back to the time that he denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus restored him 3 times. And now he spoke to him clearly 3 times in order to open up the gospel to every Gentile on the earth. Here we are. As a result of this day, this encounter, these 2 visions coming together, here we are. We've benefited. This is not just history. This is revelation to the church that needed it in their early stages to release it to who? Us. We were the dogs. We were the not good enough. We were the common. And here we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit inside of us. Wow. How can that be, God, that you would do that for us? Ohio didn't even exist in their world. America didn't exist in their world. And God still got all the way over to a small town at the top of Michigan to a young man who was very confused and had a little curtain of hair that covered his eyes because he didn't want to talk to people, but God wanted to talk to him. And now he gets to go to the nations? Ah! Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Cornelius. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all of us with our encounters with you. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all those things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. I have a suggestion. I don't think it's going to be taken into account, but how many times is the resurrection of Jesus Christ mentioned in Acts? How many times do they speak of that in order to convince the world that Jesus was who he said he was? Jesus is who he said he is, and he will be always who he said he is, or was, or will be. I got lost. He arose from the dead. That's our message, or at least a big part of it. And it is in Acts. Maybe we should call the book of Acts the book of resurrection. Okay, you'll think about it. All right. You're not sold on that one. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, Jews watching, Jews a part of it, who believed, were astonished, as many came with Peter. So the Jews that came with him, they were, what? This group? A Roman soldier? His household, his family, his friends? What? Huh? There was a lot of that in Acts, and it should be with us. Wow, God. Wow. Amazing. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And if you don't say amen to that, I don't know what you would say amen to. That's us. Poured out on the Gentiles. Us? We don't even qualify. But we do. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? That's a rhetorical question. They do that a lot. It's around the time of baptism. Is there anyone that can stand against bringing some water in so that these might be baptized? Is there anyone that would be against us taking him down to the riverbank and having him baptized? Anyone? Anyone? No? Okay, we'll do it. Rhetorical question. Who's going to say, nah, that's a bad idea? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days. I just love this. This explosion, fireworks, everything else. And they asked him to stay a few more days. Wouldn't you love to know what happened in those few days? How they glorified Jesus. How they spoke of the Holy Spirit. How they said, have you heard what happened in Jerusalem? Or are you out here in Caesarea and you haven't heard that yet? So many awesome things happened. And Philip, when he went to the eunuch, and he was translated. And all these things are happening for 4 days or a few days. Spending time together, glorifying the Jesus that is the only one that deserves glory. Are you getting excited about this book of the Bible yet? Because it's our day. And if it's not our day quite yet, it's going to be. Only on steroids. Well, Holy Spirit steroids. It's going to be magnified explosively if we're open to having that happen through us. Remember, Peter was a fisherman. Remember, I was a garbage man. Remember, you were whoever you are. But we're not common. God went out of his way to match up visions so that we could be here today and receive the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its benefits, healing, deliverance, encounters with the Lord, intimacy, being able to really understand the revelation of the Bible because of the Holy Spirit within. Without him, we can do. Wow, that was the best response of the day. And you had to admit something. Humbly. Without him, we can do.
Nothing.
That. I'm done. This, that's just awesome. I don't know who's next, but I'll take that. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We lay ourselves before you, God. Every decision we make because of the decisions you made to rescue us in our Gentileness, in our sinfulness, every decision we make should be supernatural. It should be in alignment with the Word of God, alignment with the Holy Spirit, and alignment with heaven. Jesus, you can do that in us. Peter made a great decision here to go to Cornelius' house. Cornelius made an amazing decision to invite Peter to his house. And you, God, changed history so that we benefited from those decisions. Supernaturally inspired decisions that you gave them the ability to make by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. We give you all the praise as we enter into communion. We want that to be supernatural, not just something we do, but something you do inside of us to draw close to you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, there's one thing I would like to think about what they were doing for those 4 days. Can you imagine Jew and Gentile breaking bread together and fellowshipping the very presence of Jesus? That was never done. So I'd like to think that was one of the things they were doing. You know, we are at a pivotal place in our history today, unlike we've been in any other period of time. And I'd like to believe that what we're about to do in taking the elements has everything to do with the ministry of reconciliation that Jesus himself gave to us, that God gave to us through Jesus, right? How many of you have come to a conclusion? No, you don't have to show your hands, but how many of you have come to a conclusion in your own heart that conversations alone will not reconcile our bridge, will not reconcile our gap, but the cross will? Our home keeps coming to that conclusion over and over. And I'm the person that says, I just want to have as many conversations as I possibly can with as many people, because I love people and I love reaching into people's hearts. I just love to see where people are at their lives. But when we have those conversations, unanimously, we keep coming to the same place. Wow, you were hurt, and Jesus is the only one that can reconcile that pain. Done. So I have a story, and we're going to try and find it. It's a Corrie Ten Boom story. And Teresa shared this with me last night. You can't find it, it's on Facebook, but if you can find it, we'll read it. But it ties in. This one is incredibly powerful. If you can find it, it's entitled Due to a Clerical Error During World War II. Find it, bring your phone up to me. While you're doing that, I'm going to read John 10. Yes, Lord. And we'll tie these two together. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Catch this. They know his voice. This is the voice of reconciliation we're talking about. This is the voice of Jesus. He's always reconciling people back to God. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Today, in the world that we live in, people are going to continue to come to the conclusion that they have to be reconciled back to God through the cross. They'll come to the dead end over and over and over again, and somehow, by the grace of God, they will come to a place, man, this mess cannot be reconciled except through the cross. Praise God, we got the story. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Lord, thank you for helping us understand these mysteries that you keep revealing to us of how good God is. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Every solution that came before the cross, thieves, robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I thank God that people aren't just listening to man's solutions, but instead something inside of them says there is something more that will solve this problem. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. When we talk about the elements, we're talking about receiving Jesus, the very person of God, the very one who reconciles us back to God. That's what we're talking about. When you know, these elements, the bread, the wine, he says, do this in remembrance of me. But when I look at them, I say, who are you? Ah, you're the bridge. You're the one. It's you who puts me in a position where I get to receive abundant life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. I'm going to pause for a moment. This week, I had an incredible opportunity to speak with somebody that I dearly love, someone who knows me. And in this moment, she saw me. I'm a person that wears my emotions on my sleeve. And if you know me well, you can see how I'm feeling just through my eyes. And they said, I know you, and I know your eyes. And then gently just brought some revelation to my heart about not just how we struggle with our emotions, but how we struggle with our will. And oftentimes, it's not just our emotions, but it's our will. It's us, it's me, not wanting to let go of the things that I want to hold on to, the things that I feel justified in. They could be things that I don't want to forgive somebody. Or I want everyone to know how they wronged me, so I'll feel justified. But in that moment, I was like, man, my will is holding on to something, and my eyes are seeing it. They're telling on me. And then later on, I was able to thank that person. Thank you so much. I am so thankful that you know me. Amen? So Jesus knows us. Thank you, God. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. We talked about them, right? They're all over the world. People that we're going to reconcile the truth back to. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. This is Corrie ten Boom. If you're not familiar with her history, she was a woman that was mightily used to secure Jews while Nazi Germany was invading Holland, I believe. She hid them and she protected them. I mean, can you imagine a person who does this, not just out of humanity's sake, but because these are the ones who inherit salvation. These are the ones that through the world will know what salvation looks like through the Jews. They're the ones that God set apart so that man would know God fully. And she got a hold of that. She said, I'm going to protect this remnant of people, even if it's my life I have to give. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God cast them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. Maybe they were holding on to their will. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence. In silence, collected their wraps. In silence, left the room. And that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. Imagine this woman who had been hiding Jews from these very people. It came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me. Ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück, concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. Isn't that where we're at today? Hands are thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. Oh my goodness. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, again the hand came out. Will you forgive me? I know in my life I've wronged people, and there's something amazing that happens when you go back to them. You know there's a divide between you and them. You know it'll stay there unless there's reconciliation. But the moment you step outside of what you want to do. And I stood there, I whose sins had every day to be forgiven and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, held, hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours. And I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. Wow. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Don't you love how the Holy Spirit brings this truth up to us in those moments to help set us free? I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to also return to the outside world and rebuild their lives. No matter what the physical scars, those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. Wow. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. Come on. Forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me. I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. Oh. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joint hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, my brother. I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Having thus learned to forgive in this hardest of situations, I never again had difficulty in forgiving. I wish I could say it. I wish I could say that merciful and charitable thoughts just naturally flowed from me from then on, but they didn't. There's one thing I've learned at 80 years of age. It's that I can't store up good feelings and behavior, but only draw them from fresh from God each day. Father, I thank you for such accounts. And I thank you, Lord, for this period of time in our history where reconciliation is at such a height of importance that as we bravely step out into a dark and dying world, that our hand will go out with the message of forgiveness, repentance, reconciliation. That regardless of how we feel, and sometimes we feel so much, we would instead reach out our hand and say, Lord, will you forgive me? And reach out our hands to those that we've hurt. Will you forgive me? As we remember what Jesus did, And as you take the elements here in this place and where you're at right now watching, you come to a conclusion in your own heart that reconciliation, the cross, is the only solution to this. And wherever you have an opportunity, you take that situation and use it to preach resurrection. Because Jesus resurrected, we have hope that every divide that we face in life can be joined by the incredible power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That as we take the elements, we remember that He came, He selflessly gave His life and died, and because He willingly gave His life, He was able to take His life back up, and then was received into heaven by His Heavenly Father, and then He sent His Holy Spirit to us so that we would have the promise that resurrection is power, and that we would go out into this dying world, this disconnected world, and we would preach Jesus crucified, Jesus resurrected, Jesus ascended, and we will watch this world come together one person at a time. And then households will know that we've been with Jesus, and they'll invite us in so that the light of Christ can dawn on their house and a new day can begin. Father, I thank You so much for Your love and Your kindness and Your mercy on us, Gentiles, commoners, outcasts, forgotten. We're remembered, and we will sit at a table one day. Jews and Gentiles, no longer separated, now one person in Christ. I bless You, God. Amen. Amen.
As we take these elements, thanks, Peter. As we commune with You, Lord Jesus, give us the courage to surrender our soul completely to You. Not just our thinking, not just our emotions and our heart, but fully our will. Just as Your Son, Father, did, just as Jesus said, not my will, but Yours be done. Father, the hidden places inside of us many times remain hidden in the will, because we're afraid to trust You, God. We're afraid to trust You, Papa. And we can have hindrances and mountains and strongholds right in the center of that decision-making place. So, Father, today we just lay that down, and we allow You to rise and completely transform us and remove any hindrance, so that our wills will be pliable and flexible and easy to trust You, so we will not be fooled. Thank You, Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Thank You, Lord, for the freedom today. Thank You, Lord. He's trustable. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. You can choose to trust Him. Trust Him fully. He will not lead you astray. It's okay. Give Him control. Give Him complete and total control. Here's my life. Have Your way. Not my will. Yours be done. Here's my life. Have Your way. Not my will. Yours be done. Here's my life. Have Your way. Not my will. Yours be done. What a safe place that is. We're going to close this session today just worshiping our Lord. Not my will, yours be done. Here's my will, have your way. Here's my life, I'm here to stay. Not my will, yours be done. Lord, that we would remain in you, as Corrie Ten Boom went through such a hard process to get to that point, suffered so much to be able to have the courage from you to take that step. One of the great heroes of my life, Corrie Ten Boom. Thank you, Jesus. Before we finalize in worship right now, I just wanted to mention Andy's going to make a very brief call to step out as an opportunity to share our faith. He's going to share that right now, and then we'll transition again into beautiful worship. You can stay as long as you want. Just, we want to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. But I wanted to make mention that as part of our family, now that we've been kind of back here 7 weeks, kind of bridging any gap, you know, with different ways that we're able to operate together, all hands on deck together. So we'll be phasing back in greeters and set up, clean up, things like that to just invite people into a place where they can better feel love, because we're all in this together as a family. So you'll be receiving text, phone calls, some communication, maybe emails, I don't know anything about that, but just look forward to that as we lay ourselves down before the cross to do life together. So we're going to worship in spirit and in truth as Andy gives us just a brief call.
Yes, this Friday night is the first Friday since this whole COVID thing happened. They're having it in downtown Canton. They're doing, it's called Chalk the Walk, and we'll be getting more details here soon as far as where our booth is going to be. But we're going to have the booth, we're going to have the pictures, we're going to have it all set up. Lawrence is going to be heading up the first part of that evening. And so just encourage you guys to make it out. It's going to be an amazing opportunity to reach out to those that are coming. And who knows who's going to come, but we're going to pray amen. And we believe that every time that they come, we know that the Lord gives us something to give and release to them. And then in the way of helping out, if there's anybody that you have time to be able to get down there and help set up the tent and the canopy and all that kind of stuff, we kind of need to be set up and ready to go by 5:30 or so. So if you're available to do that, if you can see me. And Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name, Father, for this release for our community. Father, we thank you that, Father, in the name of Jesus, that over Stark County, Lord, over Ohio, Lord, that the coronavirus, Lord, is being eradicated and dying out, Father, in Jesus' name. We speak healing into every family, every household. Father, protection, safety, Father, in Jesus' name. And as we enter back into worship here, Father, we thank you that you're releasing a war cry on the inside of us, Father, to release freedom, Father, for our brothers and our sisters in this community and region. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. And then join us as well Tuesday night for Fire and Wind on Facebook and Instagram Live. It's just an amazing time at 7 p.m. and we'll see you there. Thank you, Lord.
You are.
For listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.